read 1,200 portions. That might take a little more time than we have, but we're going to look at the word priest and see if we can gain something from this. Now, a definition of the word priest is, one of them is, a representative in things pertaining to God. But students have taken the basic word that is used in the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament, and come up with this definition, and this is the one that we'd like to kind of focus in on this morning, and that is one who draws near to God. And that should be the prayer of all of us, that we would be one who draws near to God. And that was God's desire for his people. And we'll look at that in various scriptures, but following the priesthood of man, it's interesting that Adam and Eve in the garden were their own priests. Of course, they didn't have anyone else, but besides that, they were visited daily by God. So they had this communication, this association with one another, and so they didn't need anyone else. They had their own relationship with God. And that is what God desires for mankind, is to have this type of relationship, a communication, a daily or more often communication between God and man. And then as we proceed through scripture, we'll find the patriarchs, and they, in their case, the fathers were the priest. So we went from the individual being the priest to the father in each family be the priest. And just a few that we could see is in Job. We know how he interceded for his family. Noah for his family. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Midian, Moses' father-in-law. And there are others, but they built altars and they set up a way to communicate to God on behalf of their family. So they were the go-between, the liaison between God and their own individual families. And so God's desire for all of mankind is that each of us would be a priest to God. And we're going to see this in Exodus chapter 19. I might want to turn to at least the next two verses that we look at, or portions actually, and that's Exodus 19, and we'll read verses 3 down through 8. And this was the situation when Moses was leading the children of Israel, and they came to Mount Sinai, in that very important time in the history of children of Israel. So reading verse 3, and Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings, and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if each of you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel." So Moses came and called the elders and the people and laid before them all the words which the Lord commanded him. Then all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. So Moses brought back the word of the people to the Lord. Sounds good so far. Let's turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy 5, we have a little different. The people said all that the Lord said we will do. And God said, I want each of you to be a priest to me. Now listen to these words beginning in verse 22. It's Deuteronomy 5, 22. These words the Lord spoke to all the assembly in the mountain from the midst of the fire, the cloud, the thick darkness, and a loud voice. And he added, no more. And he wrote them on two tablets of stone and gave them to me. This is Moses relaying what God had done. So it was, when you heard the voice in the midst of the darkness, while the mountain was burning with fire, that you came near to me, all the heads of your tribes and your elders, and said, surely the Lord our God has shown us his glory and his greatness, and we have heard the voice in the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that God speaks with man, yet he still lives. Now, therefore, why should we die? For the great fire will consume us if we hear the voice of the Lord our God any more, then we shall die. For who is there of all flesh who has heard the voice of the living God speaking from the midst of the fire, as we have and lived? You go near and hear all that the Lord our God may say, and tell us all that the Lord our God says to you, and we will hear and do it. Then the Lord heard the voice of the words which you spoke to me, and the Lord said to me, I have heard the voice of the words of the people which they have spoken to you. They are right, or, well, all right, in all that they have spoken. Oh, that they had such a heart in them, that they would fear me and always keep all my commandments, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Go and say to them, return to your tents. Very, very interesting logic of man. Man said, God spoke. We actually heard God with our own ears. We saw the fire. We saw the cloud. We saw the mountain shake. We saw the presence of God. And we didn't die. But if we hear the voice of God, we're going to die. The logic, not there. If it didn't happen before, why would it happen the next time? But they said, look, Moses, you listen to God, and you tell us, and we'll have this go-between. You be the priest, and we will do what God says. Not very good logic. Not what God desired. God's desire is that every person of his family, the children of Israel in this case, was that they would be the priest to God, that they would communicate directly. And they said, if we do that, we'll die. Doesn't make sense, but that's what they said. And God said, well, okay. And so God made Moses their priest, and then a little later, his brother Aaron became the priest, and then their sons, and it became the Aaronic priesthood that was established, and that was set up that way, but that's what the people desired, and so that's what God did. He set up a priesthood, a go-between, the Levitical priesthood. Then in the millennium, we're going jump over a few thousand years. But in the millennial, again, in Isaiah 61, 4 to 7, I'll just read these verses unless you want to turn to them. But in Isaiah 61, 4, and they shall rebuild the old ruins. They shall raise up the former desolation, and they shall repair the ruined cities. The desolation of many generations, strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and your sons and of the foreigners shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But you shall be named the priest of the Lord. You shall call on the servants of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and their glory shall boast. Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor. Instead of confusion, you shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. So in the millennial period, at this point, we who are believers now will be raptured up into heaven. We descend with our Lord Jesus Christ, but we won't be part of the Jewish nation as it's been described to us recently by Chuck and Tom and others. And in this situation, again, the children of Israel will be priests to God. So God will have his way again. But in between is this priesthood that was talking, that we've had God decided to go along with mankind and set up a priesthood. Now, in there's a little priesthood that, well, first of all, we'll mention some of the functions of the Levitical priesthood. They were to read publicly the Torah, or the Word of God, the Scriptures, the Old Testament. They were to bear the Ark. They were to stand before Jehovah to minister to him, to offer sacrifices, to offer burnt offerings, to offer by burning incense. They were to bear the ephod, which held the stones that they used for determining the will of God, and they were to bless in Jehovah's name. They made a distinction in the priesthood. There was the Levitical priest, and there was the high priest, and they had little different functions. And then there was also in this period a little different priesthood, the king priest. We have this in Melchizedek and in the Lord Jesus Christ. The royal priest, the ones that we don't know a whole lot about, but we do know from Hebrews and other portions about that. But in the dispensation that we live, God has determined that we would be priest to God. Each and every person is to be a priest unto God, just like God wanted for the children of Israel, same thing he wants for us. And as was mentioned in the opening, John 3:3, to be a priest, you have to be born again. And unless you're born again, you cannot be a priest to God. So that's a requirement. In the Levitical priesthood, you could not be a priest unless you were of the family of Levi. And I'll just read a little portion here in Ezra chapter 2, and just reading the one verse, verse 62. These sought their listing among those who were registered by genealogy, but they were not found. Therefore, they were excluded from the priesthood as defiled. What this was when the children of Israel came back after the captivity, the priesthood was again set up, and some said, we are priests, but they couldn't prove it. And so therefore, they were not allowed to act as priests. And it's the same thing today, as was mentioned. If you're not born again, you cannot act as a priest to God. You can fake it, you can try, but you must be born again. And this is the primary thing. We're talking about priesthood today, and not necessarily way of salvation, but we want to make sure everyone understands that to have a relationship with God, you must be born again. And if any here are not born again and have questions about that, be sure to see one of us later. The most important thing, not only for the priesthood, but for all of eternity. If you're not born again, you will not have eternal life with God, with our Lord Jesus Christ. You will be sent to that place called hell and suffer throughout all of eternity. So very, very important point. But today we're primarily talking about priests. And there was one other thing about the priest, and that was the Levitical priesthood. If they were deformed, if they were what we would call today handicapped, if they were a dwarf, if they had skin problems, if they had fractured or messed up limbs, they were not allowed to act as a priest. You know, the same thing is true for us today. If we are out of fellowship with God, we cannot be a priest. Not physically, but spiritually. If we are, I guess the N word today, or the politically correct word would be spiritually challenged. If we're spiritually challenged, we can't act as a priest. If the Old Testament priests were defiled in any way, if they were challenged, then they could not function as a priest. We are the same way. So it's the two important primary things: to be born again, to be in the family, not the family of Levi, but the family of God, and to not be deformed or out of fellowship with God. And so the Lord Jesus Christ has provided for us the way that we could be born again. He has paid the penalty of our sin. He suffered for us. Therefore, we have a way that we can be born again. Familiar verses in 1 John chapter 1, and just read verses 7 through 9. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if we are defiled, if we are spiritually challenged, we can be made right through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, the primary function of a present-day priest is to, as we said in the beginning, draw near to God. And how do we do it? It's much easier for us than it was for the Old Testament priest. They had to go through certain rituals. They had to go through many tests, and they had to be perfect to be able to do the job that was required for them to do. And if not, they were disqualified. For us, we have three things that really strengthen and make us. We have the complete Word of God. All that God wants us to know concerning God, concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, concerning the plan of salvation, concerning the way we should live, we have it written for us. We have prayer. We have this open veil so that we can enter into the holiest and we can commune with God. What a blessing that is. The Old Testament priest could only, the high priest could only go in once a year in very strict requirements of what he could do. At the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, that veil was rent in twain and the way was made open that we can enter into the holiest, that we can enter into the presence of God. And not only that, we have the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, sitting there as our advocate. And so we have that. And the third thing we have is the Holy Spirit, God himself dwelling within us, correcting us, leading us, the shepherd that we were singing about. What a blessing we have. We have the Word of God, we have prayer, and we have the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. So what a blessing it is. Very easy to be a priest, provided two things. We are in the family of God, we are born again, and we are not defiled, not out of fellowship with God. Now, today, many people who are born again, who are believers in our Lord Jesus Christ, say the exact same thing that the children of Israel said. They say, yes, I believe the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, I love God. Yes, I praise God. But I want the elders, the pastor, the teachers, the leaders. I want others to be the priest. I am afraid. Now, the children of Israel were afraid of God. They saw that mountain shake, the fire, the cloud, the loud voice. They were physically afraid. Today, many people are afraid, well, if I act as a priest, people are going to talk about me. They're going to criticize me. They're going to say things that aren't what I want to hear. Or, I am afraid. I can't just go into the presence of God. I need some help. My grandmother was not saved until she was quite old. And my father had witnessed many times to her. And finally, she made a profession of faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. And she would say, especially physically not able near her death, she would say, John, pray for me. And he said, I do, and I will, but pray for yourself. She would say, oh, I can't do that. That's the priest's job. That's your job. And so many today feel that same way. I can't act as the priest. I need someone else. And we don't. And that's not what God wants. God wants us to be priests to him. He has always wanted that. He had it with Adam and Eve until they messed up. He had it in practice with the Levitical priesthood. He will have it in the millennial time, and he wants to have it now with each of us. He wants us to be priests unto God, to be communicating with him on behalf of others, but on behalf of ourselves, and to have that kind of relationship. And it's a great relationship. We'll just mention a portion that's disputed somewhat, but I'll just read this quick verse from Revelation chapter 2, when the letter to the churches, but this you have, this is Revelation 2, 6, but this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Now, most commentaries won't speak about this, or if they do, they say, We don't know what Nicolaitan is, but anyway, the one commentary said that what the word means is ruling over laity. And God says, I hate that. I hate when people take that position as high priest or as priest over my people. I want my people to worship me. I want my people to commune with me. I want my people. I hate it when they set up this hierarchy, when they say that laity has this place and clergy has this place and certain clergy have other places, and then there's this system. God says, I hate it. There's not many things that God's word says that he hates. Three that I can think of: he hates sin, he hates divorce, and he hates Nicolaitanism. And if we say, well, I can't be a priest, I need the elders, the pastor, the teachers, or whatever, we're doing something that God hates. So it's something that we need to be very conscious of, that each of us individually are priest unto God. And so what is the job of priest? I have about five of them here. And the first one, probably the most important, and that is the daily communication through the reading of God's word and praying to God. We keep those communication lines open. That's a duty of a priest. And it's a very important one. And we need to make sure that we do this, that we don't let a day go by without communicating with God through his word and then through prayer. Let us come unto the very throne of grace, because it is available to us. The second one is one that we've heard a good bit about fairly recently, and that's Romans, and most of us learned these verses, Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may know what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. And so this, presenting our own bodies, all of us, to God, giving it to him, he who bought us out of the slave market of sin for himself, that we would then give ourselves to him, him who loves us, who loved us, and gave himself for us. And so it's very important that we do present our bodies a living sacrifice. Another one is found in Hebrews 13:15. And just read this again. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So the third thing is that we function as priests. We're very fortunate here in that we have every week, we set aside an hour plus of time to commune collectively with God by having the table, by having the Lord Jesus Christ present with us, by being able to come and to give forth the sacrifice of praise. And this is what God desires. Not knowing why this is made a minor thing in many of the churches, but they have relegated it to a small place. But it is the meeting of the church, the primary thing, this opportunity to commune with God collectively. We can do it daily, and we need to, and it's very important, but to collectively gather, and for the males to verbally be a priest and give forth from God's word, through hymns, through prayers, and for the women to silently do the same thing, to worship, to have that communion with God. And if we're not doing this, we're not really functioning as the priest. So it's a very important part. In Psalm 50, read this one verse, 23, whoever offers praise glorifies me, and to him who orders his conduct aright, I will show the salvation of God. Whoever offers praise glorifies me. And that's what God says. And what a blessing to be able to glorify God. And we'll mention a little later, but this shall be our occupation, our joy, our privilege throughout all of eternity. So a fourth thing is the love gift, the giving of our means, our monies, our service to God. We act as priests, and this is something that is kind of going by the wayside, I believe, in most assemblies, but the three things that are present, the breaking of bread, the loaf, the cup, and the offering plate. We offer our priesthood to God by giving in this way. That's why at this meeting we don't pass the basket, because the love giving is part of worship to God, part of our priestly offering to God. Now, it's not the only time, and we can certainly give other times, and it doesn't have to be just money. It could be many other things, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. But that's the fourth thing, the love gift, the giving of our funds, like the widow who gave her all. God appreciates it. It was made known that God did appreciate it. The Lord Jesus Christ made this known. The fifth thing that I believe is making known to others about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this could be done in many ways: lifestyle, evangelism, tracts, through personal witness, through helping others and explaining to them why. And so there are many ways to do this. We have the privilege here of doing it through the Sunday school, through the Wednesday night program, the Daily Vacation Bible School, the working with children. And so there are many ways of making known the good news of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We can do this in the prison, and I believe next week Ron Bupp will be here and give a little more information on the prison. And so that's another way, in the nursing home. And there's so many ways that we can do this priestly function of making known the will and the word of God, making it known, putting tracts in various envelopes, or handing them out, or better than handing them out is to hand them and to talk about this. And so this is another way. So that's the quick summary of what a priest does. But I'd like to add a few others that we may not think of as priests. And when I do this, I often think of John Dunlop, who is no longer with us, who has gone on to glory. But when John was able, at the old chapel, every Sunday night, John, who, for those that didn't know him, was mentally not complete, physically was weak. He couldn't do much. But every Sunday night, he went through the chapel and got the trash and put it in a place. And every time that there was a speaker, he would get a glass of water and make sure it was there. Simple things, but these were priestly acts. Very important, because it was John doing what John could do for the Lord Jesus Christ, for God, offering his function as a priest. And then just a few others that we might think of, simple things maybe, but they are priestly functions, and that is visiting a hospital or at home or various ones who are in need of visiting, supplying meals, welcoming people to the assembly, raising children for the Lord, teaching, preparing snacks, encouraging those in need, being sensitive to God's leading, whatever it would be, and whatever he would have us to do. And that is the priest function. Whatever it is, it could be something simple, such as picking up a hymn book off the floor, or it could be something major, as being an elder or whatever. But whatever that function is, we should do it, as Colossians 3:17 says, with all of our heart, to do it completely unto the Lord. And so that is the important thing, that we function as a priest. We won't all be preachers or teachers. We can't all take the lead, but we can all be priests to God, and however God leads us. But we need to make sure that we're doing it from the heart, that we're doing it because we have drawn near to God, because we have this close relationship with God. Now, I'll read one other portion that's well-known, Revelation 5, but this is what we'll do throughout eternity. John writing, "Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels round the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, thousands and thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom, strength and honor and glory and blessing.' And every creature who is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that is in them, I heard saying, 'Blessings and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever.' The four living creatures said, 'Amen.' And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever." Being a priest to God is our function throughout all of eternity. That's what God desires. That's what he has made it possible for us to do. And he has said that he wants each of us to be that kind of priest. Not only then, but now. And so the question that we'll bring up is, first of all, are you born again? Are you in the family? Can you be a priest? Are you in good relationship with God? Are you not spiritually challenged? If so, then the thing that we can do that will please God is to be a priest to him. We would ask this question: how do you evaluate yourself as a priest? Are you functioning as a priest? Or are you, like the children of Israel, saying, "God, let someone else do it"? Now, that's not what pleases God. What pleases God is for us to do as he leads, as we were singing about the shepherd who leads us. If we allow him to lead us, what a difference that will make in our priesthood and how it will please God. We can please God now. We shall please him throughout all of eternity. But first of all, we must make sure we're in the family, we're born again, and that we are a priest of God. If you are, function as a priest. And what we'd like to do, if I guess we'll need a piano, but it's in all three of our hymn books, but in the black hymn book is 315. And maybe we could sing first, second, and fourth verses as our prayer, as a concluding prayer. I am thine, O Lord, and draw me nearer, nearer to God. That we could be near to God, that we could be priests to God. And if we are, we will be pleasing to God. So let's sing this as a prayer, and then we will be dismissed. It'll be over. So it's 315 in the black book, verses 1, 2, and 4.